morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, today we're going to be talking about some September gardening tips, and there are many, 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 but we do want to first get to talking about that home gardening in El Paso course that the Master Gardeners are going to be hosting at El Paso Community College. And we talked about this a little bit last week. Classes start a week from today, September the 6th, so there still is some time for you to go ahead and register if you're interested. So maybe give us a brief recap of these courses.
Yeah, this course is a six-week course, 2 hours every Saturday morning starting from September the 6th. And every time that you go to class, you have a new Master Gardener giving the class on a particular subject. So they have a PowerPoint presentation. They have some great handouts for you, but they also have some great teaching materials where you're able to read the back of a fertilizer label or look at what's inside your pesticide and how to apply that and how to read a label correctly. So it's a really great opportunity for people that don't have too much time on their hands, but they still want to actively garden and want to know specific problems about how to garden successfully in El Paso.
And again, that's starting September 6th, the El Paso Community College Personal Enrichment Class, Home Gardening in El Paso. And I'll have a link to how you can learn more on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, it's almost September, and so I think we need to gear ourselves for what we need to know when it comes to gardening in September, because September means fall is coming up around the corner. And, you know, September is usually pretty warm still, so people might still be a little summer-minded, but we need to sort of start thinking ahead about the fall. And so perhaps maybe people maybe want to sow seeds of snapdragons and pansies and other flowers that do pretty well in the winter indoors on some flats, and then they can put them out in October.
Yeah, it's definitely a really good way to be able to look to see how you're going to incorporate a lot of your summer annuals that have kind of past by the end of the season and bring in some other color into your garden as well. So I know a lot of people like to follow up a chili garden or a tomato garden with some marigolds, you know, or something that can really withstand some more of the cooler temperatures. And plants such as pansies or the Johnny Jump-Ups, the violas, they do really great, and they really provide a really big pop of color. That's important also when you're looking at first your container gardens, something that's going to look great in your entryway or in your patio where you're hopefully spending a lot of your time at. You want to be surrounded by this wonderful color. So pick out your seeds early, start them early in a sunny location inside, or, you know, start keeping an eye out. There's going to be a lot of transplants, a lot of six-pack cells available in your garden centers here pretty soon. So start thinking about gearing up for some nice fall color.
Yeah, if you're going to be spending a lot of time on the patio, make sure you have the mosquito spray handy,
right?
Because the rains that we've received have created some very hungry mosquitoes.
It is warm and wet out there, so.
And another thing I think that perhaps people may be wanting to think about is starting to think about their winter vegetables. And perhaps later in September, they might want to think about seeding vegetables such as broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower. And you were saying before the show that those are seeds you can put directly into the ground. It's not something you have to start indoors.
Right, exactly. Those plants do really well. Those leafy greens do really well directly sowed into the garden beds themselves. And believe it or not, you can certainly sprinkle all of those spinach seeds into one area and be able to get enough plants coming up at once. So don't think about having to get those as transplants. Certainly some plants do better as transplants, but you can certainly go with these fall crops, go directly into the ground as well. Things like radishes or carrots, you can certainly just designate a little area into your raised bed to be able to see where you planted those out. And they'll take a while to sprout up in the case of the carrots. Don't be dismayed if it takes about 10 to 14 days to start getting some sprouts coming up. And then make sure as they grow, you want to thin them out because you don't want them to grow together and fuse together, because they'll get you some weird, interesting shapes as far as carrots or radishes.
So I guess follow the back of the seed packet when you get it. It pretty much should tell you how deep to sow the seed and how far apart to sow them, right?
Yes, exactly. Because we had at one time some children's garden program that we had, and the radishes were actually planted too close together. And when the children went to harvest them, they pulled it out, and they thought that we had planted heart-shaped radishes, because when they pulled it out, it was actually two radishes that were planted so close together that they made the shape of a heart. So, I mean, they were really excited, and they were excited to eat the heart-shaped radish. But
well, to get any kid excited about eating a radish, period.
Exactly.
You can't get me to eat a radish.
Right. But to have them, you know, cheer and think we planted those on purpose, we had to do some explaining and say what the proper spacing for that.
Well, it sounds like a good science experiment in the making, you know, for their next science project, how to create a heart-shaped radish.
Right.
So I guess we also want to think about our roses, because we know that most of our roses, they usually tend to have a second bloom in the fall. So what can we do to our roses to maybe liven them up and to get them ready for that fall bloom?
Yeah, a lot of times the roses, I mean, no matter how well you take care of them in the gardens, you know, we really had some really strong summer heat very early in the year. If you remember, those first 2 weeks in June were almost unbearable. What happens is these plants are going to naturally shut off. And that means they're not going to put on as many flowers or blooms on the bushes, and they're just going to kind of ride out the heat. Now that we're changing gears and we're getting some much more moisture into the air and some more irrigations and less stress, you're going to start seeing these roses bounce back. So what you want to do is, after that nice late spring bloom that they had, you want to make sure that you deadhead and remove all of those spent flowers on there. And that's really going to encourage that new growth as well. If you're going to put on some fertilizer, the time to do it would be now. You don't want to wait too much longer, because you want to make sure that fertilizer is available for the plant this season.
Because most of the time, that's slow-release fertilizer, right?
Yeah, it does, and it's a slow-release, so it's going to take a while for it to break down. So you want to make sure that you get that going in now, so it has enough time, and it doesn't, you know, you don't put on this tender growth too late into the season. But if you do those deadheadings and you go out and, you know, we have a lot of great information on how to specifically prune back your roses during the summertime. There's a lot of great tutorials that we have access to on the website. And don't forget, there's always that human aspect, that those master gardeners that are at the Rose Garden every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning be more than happy to visit with you. So stop by and ask your question and see what techniques they could be able to show you, because it's kind of difficult to be able to do that on the radio. but when you have that plant in front of you and you have that master gardener and you're looking, listening, doing, it just makes all that much more sense.
I think the master gardeners here need a YouTube channel that's got little tutorials.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, we're working on all of our multimedia.
Little by little.
Right.
Well, if you are thinking of perhaps stopping by the Rose Garden, the municipal Rose Garden there on Copia, there are so many varieties of roses they have there. Chances are they have the one that perhaps you have an issue with. So if you're curious as to how to prune back a particular kind of rose or what to expect from that type of rose, chances are they've got it there.
Yeah, exactly. So anything from climbing roses, floribundas, you know, everything, it's on there. And really take a look to see what's going on. And also it's a really good opportunity to see what kind of pests are on there as well, and to be able to scout and look for those pests. It's a living laboratory is really what that garden is, and it's a great demonstration area for this town.
Well, I see here on our September tips that it's actually for certain people who like their spring flowering bulbs, they need to start thinking about preparing their beds now for the spring.
Right, exactly. And it's always, you know, hit or miss when you're talking about these chill hours that you need for this specific bulbs in El Paso, because it will cool off, but it depends on what kind of winter we have as well to be able to sustain those chill hours needed for the bulbs to be able to be planted. And that's a really great opportunity to visit our master gardeners. They'll actually be giving a gardening talk on the patio at the farmer's market here in the next couple of weeks on how to be able to prepare your beds and what planting depth to be able to put your bulbs in so that you don't bury them too far in the ground. You know, you want to put your tulips, you know, a foot into the ground.
And not, you know, upside down.
Right,
that's
exactly.
An easy mistake to make.
It's very easy. And after a while, when you open up one of those mesh bags, you look at them all and they all start looking different. And you're like, okay, well, what side's up?
You know, it's not like when you sow a seed, right? The seed, you put it in there any which way, and it knows which way to grow. But not a bulb.
Yeah, gravity does its job on the little seeds, but on the bulbs, you can be in big trouble.
Well, we have several more September tips. We'll have those posted for you on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. But we actually have a few questions we want to answer from the Master Gardener Hotline. And what's the first one?
Well, we have a question here from a homeowner that lives in the Upper Valley, and his neighbor has a pecan tree, and he'd like to prune one of those pecan branches off and hopefully start it into his backyard. Pecans in this valley, they're all been what we call grafted, and that's really when you get two similar pecan varieties and you fuse them together. So the top is a different type of pecan than the bottom. So by this process of being grafted, you don't mess up with the plumbing of the plant, and it's fused together and it grows wonderful. And the reason why they're selected that way is that some of these pecans have really great nuts. They're full, they're definitely what people want to enjoy, they're meaty, but those particular ones, they may not have really good root systems. So there's this one common root system that's all fused together with all these different types of pecan tops. And then that way, that root system is able to anchor itself into the ground and be able to mine all of that, those nutrients and all of that water. So if this particular homeowner was going to prune off a branch of a top and then put it into the ground, and he was able to get a successful root system going for it to root, it really wouldn't be successful in his yard, because we know that that pecan type has been bred for its tops and not its bottoms. So that pecan will always struggle into the backyard, or it would eventually die. So my recommendation for that is not to prune or try to start any pecans or any even fruit or any other nut tree directly like that because of this grafting process.
And I take it the root system is not sold commercially where people can say, I've got the top, I'm just going to go by the bottom and, you know, do a Frankenstein on it.
Exactly. So you definitely are going to be able to see those grafted pecan trees will already be like that in the nursery. You don't need to do that at home, and you'll be able to see the little scar where that graft was made. So yes, rest assured that it isn't an investment to be able to start getting any kind of pecans. It does take 7 years for it.
Really?
So if you do buy a plant that's maybe 1 or 3 years older, you're that much far ahead of the game. So keep an eye on that. Get your pecans locally from a local grower to be able to ensure that you've got that best root system there for us.
Well, we're out of time, but if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners about pecan trees or fall planting, make sure you give them a call on the Master Gardener Hotline at 566-1276. That's 566-1276. We want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.